Market Watch is proudly brought to you by TopSport, home of the TopSport betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
G'day everyone, welcome to a round four edition of NRL Market Watch. It's proudly brought to you by topsport.com.au. Remember, that is the home of the best of the best multis. Jared, please stop with those North Sydney Bears stories. Surely you're running out. Surely you're running. Anyway.
Jimmy, they were lunch bet stories.
Mate, by the way, after I introduce you two, I want to get into the rundown as it appears today too. As mentioned, the number one seed up there at Top Sport is Tristan Merlehan. He is here for the program after, well, there was ups and downs for Tristan. There was the ups of the Gold Coast Titans having the win. There was the downs of the couple of lunch bets where he followed me in. Hello, T.
G'day, Jimmy. Yeah, and I can categorically state that I don't think the whole pre-show conversation was surrounding lunch bets, because I was 5 minutes late, and by the time I got on, Jared was still talking about some very interesting topics. So I certainly don't think the lunch bet conversation could have gone for more than 5 minutes, considering it would have been only specified over two games. But yes, no, been a big week. It's been a good week for the Titans. But yes, I've got to revisit who I sit behind at the blackjack table this week. But it was a very interesting week of football. I'm sure Jared will get into it, about plenty of points, plenty of hot weather, and a few more upsets to go along with the start of the season.
Well, I think Tristan might have also been a little bit slow in a Saturday too, Jimmy, off the back of St. Patrick's Day. I was too, because St. Patrick's Day is actually my anniversary. But we were actually talking about superstitions, Jimmy, because I am one of the worst at the best of times, and may have a horse running today, and may be very superstitious about a few things like that. But I wasn't about the lunch bets last week, Jimmy, so dive into that if you wanted to.
So the people who can't see us, remember you can watch us on YouTube. You get us across Megaphone, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. When you're there, make sure you write a review. We would appreciate that. So Jared, usually, the last month, has had the dark chill, the horse he's very bullish about, who's running today. He's had the dark chill cap on, and the picture comes up today, and there's Pass It On Clothing, the great charity that he does work for Chris and Olga. And I'm like, Jared, what's going on? And I think it was that little bit of superstition that kicked into play there, and he wanted to remind the racing gods what a generous fellow he is and what great work he does around charities. And as a result of that, the Dark Chill will get a better run in the race. But anyway, we'll have to wait. What time's that race today, Jared?
That might be race 6 at Doomben this afternoon, Jimmy. I think about 3:30.
Weight of money has come for Dark Chill as well. So we'll get Tristan's thoughts on that. Now, my thoughts were around the agenda for today, where previously lunch bets have been buried, if at all been found in the agenda. Today, in bold writing, 24 scale, there they are, lunch bets. So as we do, Jared, we look back before looking forward. You better take us through that. What happened with the lunch bets?
Well, Jimmy, the good news last week was that Tristan found the Eagles at the line minus 3.5. They won by 4.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mitch Moses, and your goal kicking on that one.
What about the Eels, eh? They've lost 3 games by 4 points, but in the total of those 3 games, they've actually scored more tries than their opponents.
Yeah.
There you go. The goal kicking's been crucial. So Tristan got us home there. I missed with the Rabbits. Jimmy missed with his all up. We had found some winners in previous weeks, so we'll take a couple of losses and a nice win there. On the lunch bet front, well, I happened to get 2 back, Jimmy, so I was very quick into diving in to update the score table. Jimmy plus 7, Tristan plus 3, me bringing up the rear a long way in the distance at minus 11, but I did get 2 back, and so onwards and upwards we go.
Can I just say the mitigating circumstances, and I'm sure Tristan's with me here, Jackson Hastings taken off the field with 10 minutes to go with an HIA. That was crucial in the Knights plus 4.5, and that got out late too, so don't read too much into that scoreline. The other one, I had my finger poised, ready to go at the 68-minute mark as the Dragons led the Broncos, and then boom, what was happening there? That was a disaster.
I knew you were snooping around in the background somewhere, Jimmy, ready to fire.
Oh, anyway, surely at plus 11.5, Dragons, bad old habits. Hey, we want to talk about the extreme heat. We had a bit of a no pun intended, heated discussion pre this podcast about it. So you're suggesting, Jared, that there were a number of clubs in the NRL that weren't happy with the fact that they had to play in such extreme heat. And I guess the big one was the Gold Coast up against the Melbourne Storm. What was that, 3 o'clock on a 2 o'clock Queensland 2 o'clock. Time? Yeah, on a Saturday afternoon where, I don't know, what were the temperatures up there at that point?
Well, I think that the club staff of both the Storm and the Titans were suggesting that the heat on the field itself was in excess of 40 degrees, and there were those at Belmore the next day who suggested something similar for a 4 o'clock game. So, the scheduling's done back in October, November, December last year, Jimmy, or prior to each season. And I think we've got to get this better each year, in that, you know, these afternoon games in Queensland in particular, if they're at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, or the 4:30 or 5:30 game, just doesn't make a lot of sense. Subjecting the players to such heat conditions, we talk about all the protocols now around HIA and looking after the player and the player's health and their future and all those sorts of things, yet we still let a TV schedule run the game.
And I totally understand that too. So I'm seeing both sides of this argument. Yes, player welfare, undoubtedly. But then how do you then on a whim? Because the next day down here in Sydney on Monday was 23 degrees. So, like, you know, it's elements of luck associated with that. If you can take that out and say to a broadcaster, oh, by the way, we're going to kick off this game not at 3 p.m., we're going to do it at 6 p.m. You know, that's really difficult to do unless that flexibility is within the contract prior to a season starting. And if it is in the contract prior to a season starting, then guess what? The broadcaster says, well, if you exercise that, we're paying you less money. So that's the challenge around that one. One thing I will note, and I think Jared was talking about the numbers, Tristan, and you can look at it from this point of view, the high scoring matches surely is connected to the fatigue that comes in, less emphasis on defence, more points.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, the temperature up here on Saturday was absolutely stifling. And yeah, that always leads to support for the overs. It's just so hard to defend in those late periods of the game. Obviously, the drinks breaks assist there. And I can only imagine how many points would have been in that Titans Storm game if there hadn't been a drinks break. But yeah, it's a really tricky question to answer in terms of what the answer is. Like, I think we have to probably look at it realistically at the start of the season and probably be aware of which games are being positioned in the Arvo games in this hot period. I'd be a big advocate of bringing back a Monday night game, which Jared sort of mentioned for the start of the season. Like, the AFL play an extra Thursday night game in their season at the start of the year, which they don't do in the middle of the year. So that's obviously how they combat it. From a betting point of view, you know, the Saturday Arvo games are always much lower turnover than pretty much any other game over the weekend, because, you know, a lot of your punting dollars are tied up on racing. So to me, a pretty straightforward switch would be to have a Monday night game instead of that Saturday Arvo, and that would mitigate a few of those issues. And also then try not to schedule the games in Queensland where possible when it is going to be hot.
We know what the Rugby League Players Association would think about this. I wonder what the Horse Players Association would think about it as well, too, with that Saturday afternoon temperatures across all the states. The AFL had it too. They had the Giants v Adelaide game that was 1:15 on that. It was blistering, stifling the heat on Sunday down here in old Sydney town. The other one was the expansion of these playing squads. Love to get your thoughts on this, Jared, knowing that, you know, with injuries, suspensions, now HIA protocols with the 11-day stand down. They're looking at, oh, well, we need to expand that. To me, it's so straightforward. You know those six guys you got on development contracts that can't play till round 11? Just let them play whenever you need them.
100%. It's easy, Jimmy. It is easy. And they have to add them now. I mean, just look at the Knights and what the Knights are into this week and the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, I think last week the Knights had 4 guys, possibly 5, sitting on the sidelines from their the top squad with HIA. These development guys have got to be put into the list from the start and greater flexibility around their numbers.
They're the next highest paid. They're the next cabs off the rank, so to speak. Just formalise it. It's, yep. If you can institute an 11-day stand down after two rounds of the competition. You can institute, by the way, those development players can come in 7 weeks early after three rounds of the competition. Absolutely extraordinary. All right, now that we've got off our soapbox on that one, time to get into the games themselves. Let's have a look at the way it starts. It's amazing to think that we've got a grand final rematch and yet everyone's talking about the game on Friday. So let's start, though, with the Parramatta Eels taking on the Penrith Panthers. This is going to be an interesting one, isn't it? They're 0-3. The Parramatta Eels, where do they find their next victory? Ryan Madison is back. Lots of talk around that. Matt Dury to the bench. Jack Murchie out. Regan Campbell-Gillard free to play after taking the fine. Wonder what Ryan Madison thinks about that. Scott Sorensen returning from a head knock into the 17. So Matt Eisenhuth drops out from that 17-man squad from the Rabbitohs in round two. What's the market saying here, Tristan?
Yeah, the market has moved a little bit in Parramatta's way since we've opened. It's $3.15 the Eels, $1.36 Penrith, 7.5 the line, 185 now the minus, 195 the plus. It has moved in from 8.5 and 38.5 the total points. So it's a we're still trying to get a read on how the buy obviously factors into this. It's obviously early in the season, so I think it'll be much more important as we get deeper into the year. But the Seagulls obviously started very, very well and then fell in a little bit of a hole late. The Eels, despite being 0-3, they've scored more points, more tries, as Jared touched on, than the opposition. So this is a big game. Obviously, these two teams have a massive rivalry. Penrith found a little bit of form 2 weeks back. Cleary ready to go. Madison back in. So, yeah, I'm excited for this one. I think it's going to be a really tight, low-scoring affair.
Yeah, back at Parramatta, that helps them back there, although none from three to start the season. They're certainly under a bit of focus and pressure, and they lose another forward, but they do get Matheson back. I just don't know that they match up strongly enough against this Panther side now. I can tell you that the Panthers, off the last six times that they've had a week off, they've won. So they've got a very good record there. I think Ivan Cleary long-term has been very good at getting his team freshened up, ready to go off that break. Their record against the Eels is very good, won six of the last nine. Clearly the last occasion was the grand final. I just think that they're a level above. I can understand that there was some money around at the plus 8.5 with some punters thinking that 8.5 over the key number of 8 maybe was some advantage for the Eels. Can they get things right? They have to be desperate in the week 4 to want to get a win on the board. But with all of the changes that we've discussed through recent weeks of their list matching up against the Panthers, who clearly do have a couple of key outs, but the Panthers in their two outings, which I think are, you know, pretty strong form games against the Broncos and against the Rabbits, have only leaked 11 a week. You know, their defence is still in order. And I think that's what wins them here. I think the Panthers, I actually think that they probably win by a couple of tries.
I would never go the unders, but it looks an unders game, doesn't it? It looks a game where defence comes to the fore. You have that feeling about these games between these two sides. 7.5 the line in this one. I expect a response from Parramatta. In fact, they weren't that far away in the games that they've played this year, and certainly at different stages in that game against Manly, where, you know, they've started. So they started against the Sharks, they blew them away and then fell away. And then they started against the Seagulls and they were slow out of the blocks and then stormed home. And on the back of Mitchell Moses and a couple of goal kicks and again, a couple of finishing plays that, you know, I've been critical of Mitchell Moses about the way he's finishing off games and, you know, whether he's being distracted by all the stuff happening off the field, we have to wait and see. But it's the return of Madison is significant. I'd be very surprised if Bryce Cartwright starts on that edge. And that's only my thought, not expressing a rumour, but he is just not an edge player. Certainly not an edge player that someone like Mitch Moses and Dylan Brown suit. He's more of a middle that can just roam. He's not a hole runner. So Madison back, running holes, I think is a positive thing for this team. I think they match up well, certainly at Parramatta too, against this Panthers side. I know if we go back last year, this was the game that Nathan Cleary was sent from the field and they ended up winning that one, Parramatta. So I see a strong performance here. I like them at the plus seven, Parramatta. I'll take Penrith head-to-head, but I like them plus seven. All right, let's go into the first game on Friday night. This is a fascinating one. Storm up against the West Tigers, who fought hard against the Bulldogs, but were really rudderless for basically 76 minutes of that game. The Storm have been so un-Storm-like. However, they get Xavier Coates back, but most importantly, they get Cam Munster back and all that he brings. It's down there in Melbourne as well. The downside to that, Jerome Hughes out for a couple of weeks after challenging at the judiciary last night. They've got Jonah Pezet that's probably going to come in and play in that position for the Tigers. Massive changes here. I don't know why they put Wakeham in the 6 jersey. Just put him in the 7 jersey because that's what he's going to be doing. Luke Brooks is named 7, but he'll play 6 type role. And Adam Dwayhe back to fullback. Isaiah Papali'i is back as well. Interesting game, Tristan.
Very tricky game to get a read on. And we've priced up $1.33 Melbourne, $3.30 the Tigers, 8.5 is the line in from 9.5. And as you say, all that positivity with Munster back, but then we lose Jerome Hughes, who I think, is equally as important as Munster. So it's such a tricky scenario. There's still a bit of doubt over a couple of those big forwards as well. And then, we see Dane Laurie slot back in on the bench. We see Papali'i back in too as well. So the Tigers look dreadful there for the vast majority of the game. They scored some points late, which is probably a combination of maybe the Bulldogs switching off, maybe that hot weather really catching up. So does that inflate that performance? The Storm, they look good for parts against the Titans, but then at other moments in that game, they look very, very, very ordinary. So back at home, they're obviously going to improve, but geez, I certainly don't have the confidence in the Storm to bounce back like I have in previous years. So it'll be, I think this will give us a good read on both of these sides if the Storm can at least be competitive and bounce back a little bit, or if the Tigers are completely shot.
Jimmy, do you think Dwayhe is a fullback? For mine, there's a question mark about the calf, and he still looked a little short on movement last week. I would be playing at him at 4 and having Laurie at fullback.
I could accept that. The other thing is, I think he's a 5. I think he could play 5/8, but it'd be very important who his 7 is. So yes. The 7 with Brooks doesn't work because that's Brooks. Brooks does not run a game. Wakeham and Dwayhe could actually work. And
you agreed.
Yeah, and you could put Brooks at 14. Now that I'd go, yep, okay, I could work with that. Fullbacks, probably not his best option, but they're slotting him in there for whatever reason.
The positive you suggest about Wakeham, which I agree with, is that he does straighten things up. He does try and play direct. I think he takes that pressure off to let Brooks play a little wider. I mean, everybody talks about the two of them playing together. I mean, realistically, Tim Sheens is anchored into playing a 6 and a 7 on either side of the ruck for most of the play. But if that's the case, then Wakeham needs to see a lot more of the ball. Papali'i back is certainly key. I thought Bateman was okay last week. I mean, he had patches that shows that, he's a competitor. He makes things happen. He changes moments in the game. Should well have scored there at one stage as well.
Mm. If that ball bounces the other way, I think that completely changes the whole complex of that game. It was something that was a mercurial move, and just the way the Tigers are going, the bounce went the wrong way, and I think that completely changes everything in how that game unfolds.
You know what happened there? I reckon the first kick, it bounces perfectly for him, but he was locked into, I'll kick it again. It bounced. Yeah. He had to raise his knee to kick. Yeah. If he takes it there, he scores, but just one of those things. They were woeful. They were atrocious.
Yeah,
the 76 minutes of the game. They would just.
Gee, the worry about the Storm, though, Jimmy, is they just are not like the Storm of the last 10 years. And all of that change of their list in the off-season and then all of these injuries and still being now without Pappenhausen, Hughes, and Nelson is still a big loss for them. And a number of these guys that are just not aiming up. I would not be surprised that the young kid that you've mentioned many times over recent weeks, Jimmy, is it Falvalongo?
Well, he's outside the 30, so he's going. They'd have to ask for dispensation, but they'd get it. Like if anyone asks the NRL, "Hey, can we put this kid in?" They go, "Of course."
Because this is the first week that they've actually named him at 21.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether he comes in and Meaney moves into the halves and or they play the young fellow who was very good last week off the bench. But, you know, I think at the moment Bellamy's a little bit beside himself trying to get their attitude and their defence right. Their record at home, their last six games, they have not covered the line. But the Tigers' record against the Storm was atrocious. I don't like their form line. I think the Storm win. Gee, if it got under eight at 7.5, I'd probably have an interest in the Storm. I just think that they're on the way of aiming up and there's more about what they're doing I like. But I'm glad the game's at 6 o'clock on a Friday.
In reality, the Bulldogs should have led 32-0 at halftime. Like, when you think about the six they got was in poor old Maxi King.
Yeah.
Hasn't been like, he's been excellent, but he didn't do a lot of passing in the off-season by the looks of things. But anyway, so I'll tell you what caught my attention this morning in News Limited Press, a quote from Tim Sheens talking about Luke Brooks. In real terms, form comes and goes. He was tossed around last year like a rubber ball in a washing machine. Would love to get the thoughts of one Michael Maguire from the Canberra Raiders on that comment to see his thoughts. I just thought they were really struggling. I agree. I thought Bateman was near enough of their best player, which is extraordinary given the preparation that he's had and says a lot about what the Tigers have been doing. And the Melbourne Storm, I'm anticipating a comeback. I think Munster's huge because he's really a barometer of, if you talk about the five most important players that have to get on the field, you've got your spine and Nelson. So you've got no Nelson, you've got no Jerome Hughes, you've got no Pappenhausen. But of all of those, Grant included, Munster is the one that can get a response from the team. So I'm anticipating that. Storm, head-to-head Storm, I'll take them at the -8.5 as well. Nothing there from a. You're okay, Jared. You're not interested in a.
I'm just all right. Keeping my powder dry for the moment, Jimmy.
Fair enough. Suncorp Stadium. All roads lead to, from what we're hearing. This is incredible, isn't it? 3-0. So Felice Kaufusi out 4 matches. Extraordinary. Jared Wallace back. Kurt Donoghue drops out to the reserves. Kenny Bromwich is going to switch to the second row in the absence of Felice Kaufusi. And so we're looking at the Broncos. They are 1-17. Kobe Hetherington listed there in the reserves as he makes his way back from injury. This is a beauty, Tristan.
This is a beauty. I feel like I'm the person that boos Santa Claus here because I think this might be the comeback to reality a touch for the Dolphins in this match. It's $3.60 the Dolphins, $1.29 the Broncos. The line opened at 10.5. It's out to 12, obviously, on the back of Kaufusi being ruled out last night. So the Broncos, that was an unbelievable game there against the Dragons. It was really tight for a long time, and then they just clicked their heels and just kicked away. And I think they're just showing fantastic form at the moment, and they'll be right up for this game, of course. The Dolphins, I think, you know, they were very fortunate against the Knights. They obviously caught them at the right time, and then, you know, maybe if Jackson Hastings stays on that field, I think it could have been a different story. So I just think Brisbane might really put a number on the Dolphins here and assert their dominance as to who the big brother still is and will be for a while.
I think you two blokes had your lunch bet glasses on last week watching the Knights. I didn't think that they were that far in the game. Anyway, we'll get to them in a moment. Listen, I'm a bit with Tristan here. I do think that the Dolphins might meet their maker this week. This is a big test. This is a different level from what they've been through in the last couple of weeks. You know, they got the Raiders in the rain. You know, the Raiders absolutely blew that game. They should have won when they led 12-0. Got the Roosters right week one, and certainly we're very up for that. I love what they're doing, but they're going to miss their two possibly best players so far in the opening weeks. In Marshall King is still out, and now Kaufusi. Against the Broncos, who, you know, I think the Broncos had their eyes a little bit more on this week than maybe the Dragons. I thought the Dragons were very good against them, and for the Broncos then to go whack, whack, whack late in the game as they did. What about Payne Haas off the bench? Now, he comes on for the last 9 minutes. The first two occasions he touches a ball down a left edge, goes through the line, unloads, both lead to tries. He's the best front rower in the game by an absolute panel. I think it's the sort of game where there were a couple of occasions last week where pre-game we saw Kevy give them a real big wind-up before he opened the doors and let them out. And I think this is one of them. We'll see 53,000 at the ground. I marked the Broncos at least 14. I think at home, although it's a Dolphins game, they're very well suited here. And I do think it's a game where we'll see points. I thought that the 43.5 looked a generous spot. I thought that we might see something like 50 points in this game.
What's the weather forecast for Friday up in Brizzy?
Yeah, nice and warm, Jimmy. I think it's 31 okay. degree forecast.
Okay. I agree with you about points. I swear we weren't looking through our lunch-coloured glasses too. I reckon they were there for the taking, the Dolphins, and didn't play well. And that was a very depleted. Have a look at some of those kids that came off the bench. You know, still had the bad haircuts from year 12. So I think
they had 12 outs. The Knights had 12 outs. So.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And that's why the Dolphins, like, grain of salt, with their 16-point victory. It wasn't a 16-point victory, certainly not in my household anyway. But the Broncos are extraordinary. And you know, you talk about the atmosphere there and whether Kevy wants to have a big pre-match, you know, fire them up. Not required, as Wayne Bennett said earlier. But I'm looking at this Broncos side and what they've got everything. They've got power through the middle. I thought Flegler was fantastic in combination with Payne Haas. They've got Carrigan, who's a standout. Adam Reynolds, who's controlling everything with a brilliant kicking game. Ezra Mamm, who's brilliant. Reece Walsh, who's better than Ezra Mamm and more brilliant. The power of Katoni Staggs and Farnsworth. And then they get this great thrust off the bench as well. They are a genuine side, talent-wise, the Brisbane Broncos. I don't know if they're a genuine premiership threat, for a lot of different reasons, but I think they beat the Dolphins and they beat them comprehensively in a high-scoring match. I can see 34-12 in this one.
Jimmy, what about the Dornander Dolphins or the doco that's on Stan? Now three editions out there. I've watched all three. I must say, really well made. And to hear Wayne Bennett talk as only Wayne Bennett can was, for mine, outstanding. I just sit there and take that in for hours. But I must say, for a club, that would be outstanding in terms of you know, young kids who want to play for the club, young kids that want to follow the club, to actually watch how they were developed in the 18 months leading into game one. And in that last 2 minutes of the last edition that dropped on Monday, where, you know, they run out against the Roosters and all of a sudden they win in that massive upset. Very well made, Doco.
I've only seen the first two, haven't seen the third one yet. Spoke to Nick Piper, the director of it, and he talked about, like, Wayne's the star of the show, which is extraordinary. You've been exposed to that, so you know what he's like from your time doing those camps up at Armidale and so forth. But it's so refreshing, and here's the other thing. There you are driving the car to the kids to school, and you start quoting Wayne Bennett about, you know, sacrifice and discipline, and let me tell you about talent and all, you know, and that's... That just sums up Wayne, doesn't it? It's lessons for everyday life for everyone.
Well, he's a lot like Jack Gibson, that in his latter years now, he's leaving some great, memorable quotes that will live with us and the game for all time. But again, a classic in, I think it was number two. What was it? You know, I only have two rules. One is don't be late, and the other is don't end up in jail. He said that sometimes I'm flexible about the second one if I need you to play.
It was very good. All right, the All Queensland clash coming up on Saturday, first game. It's 5:30 up at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. It's the Cowboys taking on the Titans in this one. Okay, Griffin Neame into the starting side for Reuben Cotter. James Tarmo joins the bench. Tom Chester in the fullback spot in the absence of Scotty Drinkwater. So that is significant as well. Retains his position. We've got an unchanged 17-man squad for the Top Sport Titans, still no Semi Verrills, and the news during the course of the week was that he'd have to have further surgery. I think he's out for 8 to 10 weeks. Tristan, you're the insider there at the Titans. You might have more on that for us, but they are struggling a little, the Cows.
Yeah, they are, and it's a shame. Sam Verrills has obviously, it looks like he's going to be out for longer than we all originally thought. He's a critical part of that side, but at least the positive aspect from the Titans' point of view is they did sign Randall as cover in the offseason, so that has given them some sort of solution there. The Cowboys are $1.46, and they were outplayed by the Warriors there on the weekend. They were obviously The Broncos ran over the top of them in week two. So I think this, the jury's out on their form, but they do start firm favourites against the Titans in this match at Townsville. It's $1.46 the Cowboys, $2.70 the Titans, and 7.5 is the line. The Titans were good. They showed a bit of resolve, which has been lacking over the last 14 months when the Storm got back over the top of them late in that first half. So that was something that I was quite impressed with. I think we'll see how that form line stacks up when we see how the Storm go against the Tigers, because as we touched on, I think there is a few question marks over that form too. But obviously a little bit biased, but I think if the Titans can bring their form and if the Cowboys don't lift, then I think this game, you know, the Cowboys deserve to be favourites, but I certainly think the Titans are a chance of knocking them off up there.
Well, I did find the Titans as my upset last week. I tipped them outright. They ended up winning outright against the Storm at home. And I've spent the last 2 days going looking for them again. I think they give this a huge shake. I've ended up tipping the Cowboys, but I do think if the game was anywhere else at Townsville, the Titans are in this game up to their ears. I've got some major questions about their defence. What they're doing in attack is fine. What they're doing in defence is atrocious. I mean, leaking 32 to the Dragons 2 weeks ago, 34 to the Storm last week, and they just shut off for periods, and some of those tries are just soft and weak. But something's not right about the Cowboys. They're just not playing with the cohesion or the confidence or the attitude that they were last year. Now, whether there's a bit of a honeymoon or a hangover or whatever is going on there, last week they came up with one line break against the Warriors. You know, 2 weeks ago they came up with two line breaks. That's not how the Cowboys normally play. They then lose Drinkwater, who is such a key to linking what they do at the back on either edge in attack, and that's a major out. And then Cotter. Now, if I go back to mid-season last year where Cotter had, I think, 3 or 4 weeks out off injury for the Cowboys, I think they lost every one of those games. He is very, very important and instrumental to what they do in the middle. But they remain at home. They've got this hold over the Titans up there where they've won 12 of the last 15 head-to-head, and they've won 9 of the last 10 when it's been in Townsville. I'm just tipping the Cowboys, but I do think the Titans get their chance to cause another big upset 2 weeks in a row.
Well, here we go, Tristan. Yeah, I like the +7.5 Titans, I could entertain them head-to-head. And here's the reasons why. You talk about those line breaks, Jared. That's Scott Drinkwater. You know, if you look at, you know, Dearden's a runner. Dearden's not a ball player. Townsend is not necessarily a ball player. When was the last time you saw Chad put someone through? It's Drinkwater. Drinkwater either is the line break or creates the line break. And in his absence, it takes a lot out of that Cowboys attack. The other thing about last year is everything went well for the Cowboys, didn't it? Like every player in key position played career best form. Yep. And to reproduce that is not straightforward. All the talk was, yes, we had the same preseason that we had last year, but you know how fickle it can be, Jared. It can just change for whatever reason. I think the Titans are on the up. I love some of the stuff. I'm still got concerns around Tanner Boyd at halfback. But you know, Brimson at the back is a threat. Randall is competent, not Verrills, but competent. Fotowaka is phenomenal, just how wholehearted he is. And then you throw in Tino and you've got the basis of just a young group of players that work hard. Okay. And they've got some deficiencies, but I also think they've got some upside. And if I'm coach Justin Holbrook, I'm talking, if you want to talk about the really bad record and you say, hey, the Warriors, they can't win in Australia. They went up here last week and they beat this mob.
And fair and square beat them.
Absolutely. So yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think the Titans well and sorry, Tristan. I think the Titans well and truly in this game. So
and Jimmy, just further to your point about a couple of those players who are just not like they were last year. Nanai, I think, has run a total of about just over 100 metres in 3 games, not one game. And where's Big Lolo been? Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, he absolutely led from the front last year. I mean, they're just something's not right. Titans a big show.
And you can blame that on both of them had long World Cup campaigns. So, but hey, there's plenty of other players that had long World Cup campaigns. Jared Warrior-Hargreaves had a very short World Cup campaign. Look what he did last week. So, it's got to be done on a case-by-case basis. Isn't it appropriate that Manly play the South Sydney Rabbitohs on the week that we had the sad passing of the legendary Johnny Sattler. So, Vale John Sattler, what a great man of rugby league and a great man of the Rabbitohs. They are hosting the Manly Seagulls, can you believe it, at ANZ Stadium on Saturday night. Just looking off the back of that game last week, Hame Selle out, mandatory stand down, Shaq Mitchell out. So that's a knee issue there. Saluka Fifita comes in. Jacob Host is in as well. Blake Taff in. Same squad for the Seagulls from last week. Taniela Paseka and Josh Alawai both accepting fines to make sure they take their place in this game. This is an absolute beauty. Two sides, well, I think we all agree, Tristan, pointy end of the competition.
Oh, I think so. And, you know, the Bunnies are a favourite and probably rightly so. They're $1.57, Manly $2.40, and the line's 4.5. It has been spec from 6.5 into 4.5. So there's been good weight of money for Manly. And I tend to agree with that move. I think probably the Bunnies do deserve to be favourites, but I thought only just. I think Manly is certainly the side on the up. And anytime Tommy Tarojevic is on that field, they're going to be very, very, very hard to beat. The Bunnies, they'd be disappointed to lose that game against the Roosters. They look like they had it in control there just until halftime, and then they couldn't quite get it done. You know, Manly, to me, seem like they're the side on the up at the early stage of this season. I think the line's a little bit too big for mine.
The other one too, Jimmy, is Totola. So that's 6 forward outs for the Rabbits. That's just punches a big hole through what they've got in the middle. And, you know, they're bringing a couple of blokes back who haven't any match fitness to then play as starters into this game and then weakens their bench. If there's a week where they're a risk, certainly this is it. The one big positive about them on the back of what's unfolded in the last 24 hours is that they're back-to-back away and three games away returning to Accor, where their record is very, very good, and their record coming off back-to-back away games and then aiming up is very good. But it is a test, I agree. And it's also a big test for the Eagles. It's a good lineup. I just didn't like some of the tries that were scored against them last week. At least four of those tries were walkthroughs, players untouched as they scored. I just thought there was a lack of real defensive commitment there. I'm sure Seibold has been into them about that this week. Interestingly, the Eagles have a really poor record at Homebush, lost 12 of their last 13 games here. This is a big occasion for the Rabbits now on the back of, you know, the passing of John Sattler and what an icon he is to that club and to the game. I'm sure they're up for it. I think it's close. I'm with the Rabbits just, and I've got a big watch on the Eagles. If they defend well, they're in this game up to their ears.
4.5 enough, you reckon, Jared?
I wouldn't give it, Jimmy.
Yeah, right. I like the plus 4.5 too. I'm with Tristan on that one. So if you start looking at the Rabbitohs, Cody Walker's had a slow start to the year for whatever reason. They're still doing a lot of things right. And, you know, for a lot of people, I think they got crunched in the premiership market too. And for lots of reasons around that, I sell a out to Tola out. So Saluka Fifita hasn't played a lot of footy, as you say. Jacob Host comes back in. Kalama Matangi's been fantastic, but they're starting to thin out a little on the bench. I've got great regard for Moali, but Cheekam and Cartwright, and whereas Manly, you know, their best is outstanding, isn't it? Like their best is so good, so hard to defend. You know, just game awareness when Schuster got out of dummy half and Tom came from a mile away. He was two passes wide and said, no, the opportunity's in here, and made that effort to get there. I don't know whether you guys are like me as a lover of Tom Trbojevic. Every time he gets tackled, I'm just at home like this with the fingers crossed saying, please get up, Tom. Please get up. Oh, he got up. Fine. Play on. He's such a joy to watch. Schuster is a joy to watch with the ball. Without the ball, he has some issues, Jared. And some of them were physical, as in he was cramping up and he couldn't get there a couple of times. Other times, man, you just got to put your body in front. And as you say, Seibold, Jimmy Dimmick, we'll be talking to him, Shane Flanagan, about that during the course of the week. I thought Taniela Paseka came on and absolutely blew Parramatta apart.
He was huge.
Yeah, so I see this as a game that Manly can win, And I also therefore love them at the plus 4.5.
Jimmy, two little talking points for us to watch over the next couple of weeks. I'm an absolute lover of Latrell Mitchell. The guy is just an outstanding talent, and I also think he's wonderful for the game. But for a guy that's got so much talent, I just want to see him do so much more in key games. And for mine, there are periods where he just goes missing, where he's the leadership and he's the guy that can break games open. And there were moments last week where I thought he was poor against the Roosters, where it was line ball that he could have turned the game. The other one is, again, such a great talent in Cody Walker, but gee, he's got some crap in his game he just doesn't need. You know, the chase in the back play and hit a player like he did last week, I think it was Luke Keary. It's just rubbish you just don't need. I understand that they're competitors and the like, but, you know, the moment had passed. He just needs to control his emotions on occasions.
Sammy Walker it was that he chased after, yeah. But, you know, it's a double-edged sword with Cody, isn't it? Because that fire is the thing that makes him such a competitive player.
Yep.
But sometimes it distracts him. And the point about Latrell is a very good one, because I just wonder, and I'm sure Jason DiMicco is sitting down with him and watching moments in the game and saying, this is what we need from you. This is your moment. This is when you know, that game awareness that sometimes is really innate with these great players. Sometimes it's a learnt skill as well. So interesting to see how he develops in that regard over the course of his career. All right, let's have a look at Sunday. This is 2 p.m. over at Mount Smart Stadium. So the Warriors, who are 2-1 and could very well be 3-0 against the Bulldogs, who are 2-1 on the back of their win at Belmore. Chance Nichol-Klukstar back from that head knock, so that's good news. Jackson Ford back as well. Wade Egan out, though. So that is a significant out. Freddie Lussick comes in there. Mitch Barnett, he's been outed with a neck injury. That's a significant out. The 17 that won for the Bulldogs is there again. Braden Burns, 18th man. So he'll go over with the squad as well. Still no Tevita Pangai Jr. And everyone's very interested in when he is going to play. Mark it on this one, Tristan.
Yeah, this one opened at Pickham. And now it's into $1.80 the Warriors, $2 the Bulldogs. And I think there's been a lot to like about these two sides basically every game apart from week one for the Bulldogs. And, you know, they're both two sides that have improved drastically over the start of the season. And I think maybe the victor of this will give themselves a really good possibility of playing finals football, because I think they probably are both vying for one of those last spots in the eight. So a bit of money for the Warriors. I think the defence has really led them forward. They've been so much better in that aspect of the game. But I think Egan out, Barnett out, Curran out there, they're three pretty significant outs. But obviously back over the ditch, it's going to be a beauty. I can't wait for this one. And I'm battling to split them. And I think the market's probably about right.
Over the last couple of weeks, you've heard me bang on about this back-to-back away and then returning home. Last week, we had three teams, the Knights, the Titans, and the Raiders, back-to-back away returning home. Well, you two guys think the Knights could nearly have won. The Titans did, and the Raiders did. This week, we've got the Rabbits, and we've got the Warriors. And I can tell you, of any of the 17 teams that is a key strength in their form line over the last 10 years of back-to-back away and then returning home to Auckland, it is the Warriors. They get the right week. I'm really impressed with what Webster's doing here. He clearly comes from cut from the right cloth, and the people that he's mentored under, you can see the influence there. They've had three really tight, low-scoring games. They've made defence a priority. They've now won in North Queensland. They gave the Roosters a bit of trouble into the second half, only to get beat by 8. I like what they're doing. I've got some question marks about the Bulldogs' form. They won their last two, but there's patches of those games and the first game where maybe they're also a touch ordinary. Jimmy, you're right. They've got those three or four big middles missing, which I think hurts them. Travel to Auckland. They've lost their last four over there and their last four against the Warriors. I like the Warriors. I like what they're doing. The other key thing about the Warriors is their attack. Last week, 7 line breaks. The week before, 4. The week before, 8. He's really turned some smarts into what they're doing with the football.
Yeah, he's been impressive, hasn't he, Webster? And, you know, the other subplot to this one is that it's the former Panthers assistant coach up against the former Panthers assistant coach, which is really interesting in of itself. Bookstar back is an in, Egan out. It worries me. I'm a massive, fan of Wade Egan and the way he plays. But, you know, defensively, they have been good. It's always been an Achilles heel of the Warriors, and they've seemed to have addressed that. The Bulldogs, I've bounced around in this game. Initially the Warriors, then I went to the Bulldogs, and now I've gone back to the Warriors on the back of some of the stuff that you said. I've still got a massive issue. You know, people talked about Hayes Perham and his game last week and, oh, this dazzling footwork. He's impossible. As a fullback, you go, well, I want you to do this, and he just does whatever. I don't see any structure to what he does. He doesn't create for anyone else other than himself. He's got this really great stepping game, but he can't set anyone else up, which is, you know, exactly what you want from your fullback, especially the plays that the Bulldogs have. I don't think they get any help from Kyle Flanagan. I think he may have even regressed what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. So you just wonder how long they wait to put Carl Olawapu in, who's just doing these great things in the lower grades, an 18-year-old playing against men for the first time. You know, Viliami Kikau is an out-and-out star, and Jacob Preston has announced himself as a player after coming across from the Roosters. Yeah, lots to like. Two mid-table sides that games like this are going to be really important for, but I'll go with the home side, the Warriors. The game at 4 o'clock on Sunday is our Knights, Tristan, taking on the Canberra Raiders up there at Newcastle. So Daniel Saifidi has been named. Now, there's the other route. Like, he went off the field. He was having a... Anyway, Jaden Brayley back from that head knock. Jack Johns back from an ankle injury. Tyson Frizzell named amongst the reserves. We have to wait on that. Greg Marzu on the wing for Dom Young. Wow. Jack Hetherington back to the bench. Kurt Mann is back from that shoulder injury at lock, and Dylan Lucas goes to the 18th man. Josh Papali'i is back from his calf injury. Emre Guler back to the bench. Trey Mooney out. Zach Wolford in for Danny Levi, who has got that broken jaw. This is a very tough one, Tristan.
This is a really, really tricky one. And, the Knights... very much down on troops still, and they've got a couple of players that are in doubt. Obviously, Brayley, such an important cog to that side, as we saw the back end of last year. But there's a couple of key doubtful players there, and obviously Dom Young, interestingly, dropped. But the Raiders, they were improved there at home. Papali'i in is a pretty important cog. It's $2.75 the Knights, $1.45 the Raiders, 5.5 out to 6.5 here. I don't think they're going to be my Knights this week. I'm going to be on the Canberra bandwagon, and I think they might be just a little bit too good for the Knights with them still missing a lot of key players.
Did you hear that? That was a sigh in the background. I was hoping you two blokes still had those glasses on from last week. And
hang on. I haven't spoken yet.
Might want to dive into your Knights this week. Listen, I don't expect it's Saifidi and a big question mark over Frizzell playing. That really changes, again, what they've got in the middle. You know, for mine, that's Ponga, both Saifidi brothers. Elliot is an out. Doubt over Frizzell. I think there's a question mark about a couple of others that have been named on the bench. The Knights are just really up against it at the moment, trying to get the right list on the park at the right time. At the moment is clearly a struggle. They're back at home, but, you know, that's no shake. They've lost their last six games straight when at home. I thought the Raiders get their chance. I thought, you know, Papali'i was a good in. The things to like about what they did against the Sharks last week as underdogs at home, they won, they got the breakthrough win. I think they get an opponent that they match up well against this week, and I thought that they should be winning. I certainly had it marked far wider than the market.
Just how wide, Jared?
Well, it depends how wide you want to play, Jimmy. At the moment, the market's 6.5.
6.5, yeah.
I'll give you 7.5, Jimmy.
Oh, well, that's like going from, you know, that's bugger all, isn't it? Give me 8.5, Jared, and I'll take $1.80.
No, Jimmy.
Okay, well, there you go. So 6.5, yeah, I could entertain that. So let's go through last week, Tristan, that you and I saw. Dom Young had a shocker. I can't believe they've dropped him, though, because like he mixed up some good stuff with some bad stuff, and now you drop the winger. I don't know about that. Marzu comes in. He's can be hard to tackle, but Surely Dom Young offers more than that. Lockie Miller was excellent. Jackson Hastings, we presume, stays on the field. Tyson Gamble was atrocious last week. Couldn't be as bad again. I agree. Saifidi's an issue, but if he's out, Croker comes in, and I thought he had a really good game from the bench as well. Thompson's been very solid as well. The Raiders are hard to get a handle on, aren't they? I think they could be an improved side with Levi out and Wolford back in. Wolford's best footy, I think, is far more creative than Danny Levi, and Tommy Starling is that running game out of dummy half. I suppose Fogarty and Whiten worked in better patches last week. Still unsure about Seb Chris as a fullback. I'm sure about Seb Chris as a player. And the other thing I want, every time this Matt Tomoko runs the ball, holy, the winger doesn't see it a whole lot, but my word, he's a strong ball carrier.
Yeah,
look, I think the Raiders win, but I'm, you know, fortune favours the brave, gentlemen. I'm happy to go with the Knights at +6.5 if you want to come in.
I'm in, Jimmy.
All right. Yeah. Steve, what are you? Which bloke at the blackjack table are you following this week?
Yeah, I'm following the bloke with the that's wearing the charity hat. So I think there's going to be a little bit of luck both at the races today and also on Sunday. So I'm gonna stand behind Jared and go all in here.
Yeah, righto. I stand with Jared. Fantastic. let's have a look at the game at 6:15 at Netstrata. This is an interesting time to put this game on. This is right in the Sharks' backyard as well as the Dragons' backyard. But anyway, on a school night, you're doing it a bit late. That's one for the schedulers. Toby Couchman returns after that head knock from round two. Michael Molo makes way. Aaron Woods and Talatau Amone are listed amongst the reserves. The big news, though, Nicho Hynes is back. Braden Trindle on the interchange, despite the fact that he has been very good for the Sharkies in Nicho's absence. Jack Williams back to 18th man. What's the market on this one, mate?
Yeah, this one has been solid since we have released it. It's 245 the Dragons, 154 the Sharkies. 5.5 is the line. It opened at 5.5 and stayed there in 44.5 the total points. Has increased one number, 43.5 out to 44.5. So there's obviously been some stories in the last 24 hours about the pressure that is coming down on Hook. The Sharkies, they'll be much improved with Nicho Hynes out. They've been close in both of their losses, but not quite able to get over the line while he had that finishing touch. The Dragons are right in that game up until they capitulated late. So it's struggle to get a read on their form as well. So, obviously, the local derby adds that extra element to it as well. I think the market probably seems about right.
Before I get through the preview, gentlemen, what sort of unprofessional basket case mob let a story get leaked like it did yesterday that then is all over the papers into week three of the season that completely undermines your coach and levels of confidence about what they're doing? I'm no fan of the coach, and I think he should be replaced, but I don't agree at all with undermining what he and the playing group are trying to do at the moment. And you're week four into the season, and all of a sudden the story and confirmed is that he's got to reapply for his job, which means there's a lack of confidence in the bloke, and then mention of other potentials. Just so unprofessional.
Grossly unprofessional. And if they did it deliberately, saying, oh, well, let's create speculation in the market, then that is really, really poor way to treat your employees. I agree. I'm no rap on Anthony Griffin as a coach. I think he's a decent human too, by the way. But as far as coaching go, I think, you know, it's quite limited what he can do. However, that is still no way to treat your coach, your employees.
You look at some of the very good operators in this industry, there's absolutely no way leading a club that they will allow this rubbish to occur. On to the game. Listen, I actually give the Dragons a huge hope here. I'm tipping them to actually win in an upset. I really liked what they have done physically and off the back of their six or eight big fellas through the middle over the last couple of weeks. They stretched the Broncos for 70 minutes last week. I thought physically, though, on both sides of the ball, they were very good. I really like what, and I'll say it again, the same as last week, Kerr and Musgrove off the bench are doing. And once they bring Little on with a little bit of that physical intent and room, he's making a bit of a spark. I think Hunt was very good week one, bit quiet last week. He can improve. The worry for mine about the Sharks is, are they a little bit like the Cowboys for mine? I've been really disappointed so far in that they're now leaking 26 points a week, and that's just not going to cut it for them against the very good sides. And the Achilles heel to beating them last year was big physical sides through the middle. Well, that's what the Dragons can bring here. It's at Cogra where the Dragons' record's very good. The Sharks have a very good record head-to-head recently against the Dragons, but not so at Cogra. I'm with the Dragons. I think physically they can actually open things up and power through the middle. I like the upset Dragons to win.
I like the plus 5.5. Absolutely. You know, I know you can't wipe the last 10 minutes of that game last week, but yeah, let's be clear. The Sharks aren't the Broncos. So I think, you know, the thing about the Sharks at the moment is there's a real inconsistency with Matt Moylan. So Moylan plays poorly first game, they lose. Plays very well second game, they win. Had another poor defensive game where they just picked him out on the weekend. And you don't think the Dragons didn't see that. So there are some good things to like about that grunt of the Dragons through the middle and what they can do. And they get their grunt from blokes like Moses Suli and Mikali Ravalawa, who also provide that when they're carrying the ball out of trouble. There's just a bit of a question mark around the Sharks that I'm completely unconvinced of at the moment. They have their bright moments in games and then they drift out of those games. And that'd be a concern for Craig Fitzgibbon. The points given up would be a real concern for him. So, and interesting around Nicho Hynes coming back, you know, his best footy is amazing, a Dalian winner and all that. But you've got to come back and hit the ground running in round four, not straightforward. And Trindle hasn't been awful. In fact, he's been very, very good. In fact, you'd look at Trindle and go, he's an NRL halfback. Right? If here you go. You're starting a franchise. You've got the choice of Luke Brooks or Braden Trindle. Who do you take?
Absolutely.
So you know, the uptick of Nicho Hynes is not that huge. I'm with you, Jared. I'm head-to-head toss of a coin, but plus 5.5, it'll be Dragons every day for me. Right, mate?
As you suggest, Jimmy, seven's not their problem.
No, seven's not their problem. All right, mate, what are your tips? You better give us your best bet too.
Panthers, Storm, Broncos, Cowboys, Just, Warriors, Raiders, Dragons in the upset last game of the weekend. I thought the Raiders, -6.5, $1.90, that was my best for the week.
Pete?
Yeah, I probably agree with you there about the Raiders, but I'm going to make my best. As I said, I don't like doing this because I love everything that the Dolphins have done to start the year, but I think the Broncos are going to get right on top of them this weekend. I'm going to take the Broncos -12 at $1.95.
Oy, hey. I agree with you on that one. I'm tossing up. I'm going to go with my Sea Eagles, but the Dragons +5.5 is very, very attractive as well. But we'll go with the Sea Eagles. That's for the game on Saturday night. It's an absolute beauty. $1.90 for the Sea Eagles at the +4.5.
Staking plan?
Yeah, staking plan. 100 on that. Thanks.
Oh, thanks, I thought you much. Might have had a little bit on the head-to-head, but not to be.
Tristan, were there any big pros and Joes moves this week?
Probably the biggest thing we've seen in the last week after, as you touched on all those points last weekend, is that there's been some upward pressure in a lot of the overs already in these games. We've seen the punters step into the overs in the South Sydney Manly game. We've seen them step into the overs in the Warriors Bulldogs game, as well as the game, the Dragon Shark. So I think punters are very, very acutely aware of the impact the weather is having at the moment. So I think just be mindful of that. If you think the hot weather's going to continue, then the overs might be a decent play.
All right. I'm just looking at the weather here in Sydney, what the forecast. So rain Thursday, rain Friday, rain Saturday, Sunday a top of 24 degrees. So nowhere near the situation that we had last weekend. Righto, Mr. Dark Chill, what do we got coming up for the weekend?
Jimmy, I couldn't find a racing bet yet. I thought I'd keep my powder dry this week and hopefully luck runs with me this afternoon.
Tristan?
I'm the same. It's been a great weekend of race, week of racing, or carnival of racing, and we're just moving into some more feature races. Obviously, the Tancreds, a very traditional race, so we've got some good races on this weekend. But yeah, a little bit tricky to find a tip at this stage.
Yeah, so we're recording this on a Wednesday morning, folks, so that makes it a little bit more challenging as well, too. How good was it having Cylinder at $13 in the Golden Slipper? Oh, come on, Shinzo, what?
What about $100 to 1, Shinzo.
What about Shinzo as a story? I mean, Coolmore Stallion breaks through for Waller in the Slipper. I mean, what's the value of that two-year-old stallion now? And Ryan Moore, I mean, two big Group 1 rides and two enormous wins. And the ride on both of them were outstanding. Hugs the rail on Shinzo and straight through and see you later.
$50 million was the figure that was put on it, probably by Coolmore. But anyway, good to see battlers like Coolmore get a break to win the Golden Slipper. So that was fantastic. Spoke to Chris Waller on Monday, and he's such a thoughtful trainer, and always great to listen to him talk about that. I heard Vin Cox from Godolphin talking about the fact that, yeah, Cylinder got beaten, but Shinzo's sire was a Godolphin sire, right? I think I'm right in saying that. Tristan?
Yes, I think you're right, yes.
Yeah, so...
Does that help your $13, Jimmy?
Yeah, no, it's good. It really works in its favour too, which is absolutely fantastic. So might have been a little bit of kicking of the dog after that one. Anyway, hey gents, big weekend of footy coming up, big weekend of racing as well. I'll tell you what we might do once we work out what our best bet is across the racing. Let's put it out on social media Thursday, Friday. We can do that for the people who I know are listening and follow us across the social media as well. How about we do that, fellas? All right, it's done. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it next week.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. Readingtheplay.com